This is Real Ghost Stories Online. It is our live edition of the program where people call in and we hear the ghost stories on the air live, unfiltered. 216-GHOST-10, 216-446-7810, the phone number to call in. If you're watching us live on Facebook or YouTube right this second. If you're tuning in on the podcast, sit back and relax. Lots of ghost stories are coming your way right now.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, and it is our live edition of the program if you would like to share your ghost story with us tonight. And this is not a requirement of calls this evening, but I thought, let's just kind of throw this out there as kind of a topic. We don't really do topics all that often. A lot of times topics just kind of find us on this program, but I thought, you know, this is one, maybe let's just throw this out there, and it may spark a thought, may spark a ghost story that someone thinks of and maybe has shared, hasn't shared. Feel free to call it in again, or if you've already written it in and share it with us. But holiday ghost stories, that's something I was doing a little bit of digging on this week. So I was thinking, you know, holidays are coming up, kind of starting to put together some holiday episodes or things that are getting close to the holidays, not necessarily holiday theme, but I thought that'd be kind of fun if we can find something somewhat holiday themed. I know a lot of times we have gotten stories of folks where they're like, and I was back at my grandma's house for Christmas and all the relatives were there. And then, you know, YouTube died off for me for a second. Holiday ghost stories, 216-446-7810. 216-446-7810. If you'd like to share that. Not a requirement, but if you got one, that would be really cool to hear. Little bit of housekeeping, I guess, to talk about. Here's something new with the program that I just did today, kind of on a whim, and I'm excited to hear y'all's feedback on it. And you're gonna have to wait a little bit because it's not this week's EPP bonus episode, but the following week's. I wanted to try and produce an EPP episode in a little bit different of way. It'll be a little bit more cinematic, I guess, so to speak, a little more production element into it. So it feels different than the normal show. You still get the episode I made today, which is not this next EPP, but the following five stories, same length as the other EPP episodes, but it's a different production to it. There's more production to it. It takes a lot longer to make, quite honestly. It's hard to describe, but I think you're going to like it. It's a lot more in-depth into the stories, really kind of puts you there into the stories. It's not me and a co-host going back and forth. It's some insight, some thoughts about the story, and then goes into the story. And it's produced with different music, different effects, different things to really make it stand out and pop. And I'm really excited about it. Gotta wait 2 weeks to hear it. But this week's EPP preview actually kind of touches on how that feels. Anyway, let me know when it goes live. It'll be the one that goes live on Thanksgiving or right before Thanksgiving. Because I think it's going to be a really cool episode for everybody. Let's jump over to a caller and hear a real ghost story. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Tessa from Colorado. I've tried to call a couple of times, but I usually get cut off, so hopefully I won't this time. I think my best story as of recent has probably happened to me almost 2 years ago, just after my father passed away. I was 19, and at the time, I was actually really close with my dad. So I start to choke up. I'm really sorry. But I suffer from clinical depression and insomnia regularly, and when my father had passed away, it kind of took a turn for the worst, to the point where I wasn't sleeping for, I think it was about 3 or 4 days straight. And if you don't know, some people with insomnia might know this already, but after the first or second day, you start to hallucinate a little bit. So I was hearing things and seeing things just out of the corner of my eye, which a lot of it I did just chalk up to my insomnia, but I also think I was more vulnerable during that time, and so a lot of the noises I was hearing, I was kind of recognizing, and I just couldn't put my finger on it. One of them in particular was a song that kept on playing back and back, like over and over and over again, that I just like couldn't quite hear. It was just underneath, you know, the rumbling of my car engine or just in the background somewhere where I couldn't quite hear it. And finally, when I was talking to my mom one night, I don't know why, but I just like the song had finally just come into my actual like conscious mind, and I was able to hear it, and I recognized it as a song that was actually from one of me and my father's favorite video games, and it was called The Last Goodbye. And that same night, actually, when I finally was able to figure out what that song was, I had come home after walking, and this was around 3, maybe 4 in the morning. It was towards the end of my insomnia time when I was awake for way too long. And I had let my mom's dog out into the backyard to use the restroom because I had just come home. And so I was talking to my mom at that time while our dog was just kind of hanging out in the backyard. My mom's house actually lines a little trail, so we don't usually unlock the doors, and our dog is actually quite afraid of that trail, especially at night. She rarely goes into the corner of the backyard that is closest to that trail. But for some reason, she was looking up at the corner of that fence, right where the trail is, and she wouldn't come inside. We kept on calling her, and she literally just kind of not exactly stood there, but she was playing around that area. She was jumping around as if someone was playing with her. But it was really weird because she never goes into that corner. And so finally she came inside, and we both kind of figured that it was because my dad was there and saying one last goodbye to our dog and possibly even just us too. And so I decided to try and go to sleep one more time. And as I was laying in my bed, kind of slipping between consciousness and unconsciousness, and about to fall asleep from exhaustion, I actually did see my father appear to me above my bed. And he didn't really, it's hard to explain, but he didn't exactly speak to me. It was more that his lips were moving and he wasn't communicating words, but I understood what he was trying to say, of that I needed to watch over my mom and make sure that she was going to be okay, because she was having a really hard time with him passing as well. And as soon as he had said that, I immediately fell completely asleep, and I slept for, you know, a very good amount of time. I actually had probably one of the deepest sleeps that I've ever had in my entire life. And it was just something I thought you guys might enjoy hearing, because you guys get a lot of someone passing, last goodbye sort of a thing, and it was very special to me. And that's pretty much it. I love your guys' podcast. I rediscover it every couple of months and then end up binging it. So hopefully I'll call in soon with some other stories. And I'm glad that you guys have this podcast for us to share this stuff on. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for sharing that story. It's nice to get kind of a heartfelt one. And certainly, it's one of those things where there's so many unique things that kind of happened where you came across that song. And it wasn't just like, and our favorite song together was Piano Man or something you're going to like randomly hear quite commonly. You know, that like those sort of things kind of pop up. It's like, for whatever reason, Maneater was our song from Hall & Oates. But no, it was a song from a video game, and it was unique. And that's when those things sort of things pop up and you have that experience. And then obviously you saw him, you had the connection. He was there. He was making that connection. So that's really cool. Thank you for sharing that story with us. Let's go to a caller over at 928. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Sierra. I'm calling from Yuma, Arizona.
Hey, Sierra. Welcome to the show. You got a ghost story for us tonight?
I do. I had actually called on Halloween and I told you guys about my daughter and the little girl she saw and kind of dissipated.
Yes.
And so I'm just calling to let you guys know we've been having further activity at my house. The other night, my husband and I were asleep, pitch black dark. When I kind of woke up, simultaneously as I woke up, I heard a scream. It sounded distant, but it sounded like it was in my room, and a figure rushed towards my bed. So I didn't know what to think. I was like, you know, I was asleep. It freaked me out, but not enough for me to stay awake. I just wrote it off and went back to bed. A couple days ago, my 3-year-old comes up to me and she goes, Mom, I have a dude and he's in my room and he's tall and he's just a dude. So it's kind of crazy. I feel like we have some activity going on in my house right now. So I just wanted to call and let you guys know an update, I guess, from Halloween.
That stuff is still going on, and when your daughter's saying there's a dude in your room, there's two things that could be going on. You could be going, oh my God, it's a ghost. We need to look into this. Or oh my God, I need to call Chris Hansen from To Catch a Predator and really and eliminate someone that way too. I'm in this case, ghost is probably much more preferable compared to what the latter could be. You know, So what's your take on this right now? What are you thinking? Are you just kind of going along with this and kind of seeing what happens, what progresses? Are you wanting to get rid of this right now? What's your thought process?
Well, the way my kids keep talking about it, they're not scared. Mm-hmm. They're pretty open. I don't think they really know what's going on, but I inherited this home from my grandparents.
Okay.
One of them, who had passed away in this home. And my grandmother, before she passed, had her own experiences because my grandfather passed about 10 years before her. And she would always say, I know he's here. I know he's watching me. I'm not scared. So moving into the home after she passed away, I don't know, I guess I feel like it's just them and they're just making themselves known. And honestly, I don't really have a problem with it. I had experiences when I was a child, and if my kids don't feel any type of fear, I think I'm okay with it.
Okay.
Yeah, my daughter just walked past the door and gave me a thumbs up. They're not even scared.
Like, we're good with a ghost, Mom. That's fine. Well, I mean, as long as they're it's okay right now. I mean, obviously, you know, keep a tab on it. But let's go to a caller over at 985. And by the way, the phone number to call in is 216-GHOST-10, 216-446-7810. You can call in on the program this evening. 985, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, my name's Emily, and I'm calling from the New Orleans area.
Hey, Emily. You got a story for us?
I do, Tony. Mine is about my grandparents' house that is in the Destrehan area of Louisiana. Their home is built on what used to be plantation homes property, so you can imagine the amount of things that could happen there. But in particular, that always comes back to mind is my mom when she was younger. She would be home alone sometimes, and she would be in the shower, and she would hear her name being called. And she would get out, and she'd say her stepbrother's name, thinking that it was him, and of course, he was not home. Well, it happened again. She got back out. She finally said, to heck with taking a shower. And when she went into her parents' living room, she saw a red face on the other side of a fish tank that was, I guess you could say, the whole thought and spirit thing. Well, I was enough. When I was younger, actually, when I was little, we would go over there all the time. And there was a little girl that I used to play with that was a spirit. Her name was Annabelle. And I would say that she wore the Annabelle dress. It was yellow. And we would roll the ball back, and you could actually see the ball rolling across the floor. And I didn't think of anything of it, I guess, because I was little. But when I was a little older, I witnessed my little cousin do the same thing. And my grandmother said that the ghost plays with many children. So I guess it's pretty crazy that, you know, you experience those kind of things. And when you grow up, you kind of unfortunately grow out of it. I have other stories about that house, but since I was probably a teenager, I haven't had any other experiences.
Do you feel like you grew out of it, or do you feel like the spirits moved on to play with other kids?
Well, my grandpa would be so scared, he wouldn't even stay in the home. But they're older now, like 70, 80 years old. So I guess maybe they just don't do anything in the home anymore. Mm-hmm. But personally, I think I may have just, I don't really want to say outgrown it, but maybe yeah. Just now that I have children of my own, I'm not really as sensitive as I was when I was younger.
Mm-hmm. Have your kids had any issues? Have your kids ever expressed anything similar to what you went through?
My children have not, but my mom and I kind of lost touch for a while, so the kids really didn't go over there a lot. But when they do go over there, they haven't experienced anything.
Okay. Yeah. I'm curious because sometimes history will repeat itself in things like this. Thanks for calling
in.
Yeah,
and when I was younger. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Tony. I really appreciate it.
Did you want to add something to it? You were saying when you were younger?
When I was younger, they used to mess with me a lot, too, like, you know, the loud click ticking of the clocks.
Yeah.
When you're in by yourself and it's quiet and mm-hmm. you hear pots and pans falling. Like, there's a lot that happened there, but I'll have to call and tell you guys some more stories. Thank you so much, Tony. I appreciate you.
Would love to hear from you again. Thank you for calling in. Let's go to a caller at 949. Caller at 910. You're on deck to be next. Caller at 949. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, Tony. It's Michelle. I'm calling from Mission Viejo, California. How are you?
I am doing well. Thanks for calling in tonight. Do you have a ghost story for us?
I do. I actually have several, but I'll tell you the one that happened most recently.
All right.
This happened this last Halloween, actually.
Okay.
And I was sitting outside with my husband, and we were just enjoying the evening. It was a really nice, cool evening here in Southern California. We were waiting for trick-or-treaters and with our big bowl of candy, and I got that feeling, you know, the feeling that you're being watched.
Mm-hmm.
And initially I just brushed it off. I thought, hey, it's Halloween, so my excitement is all up there, and so it's just me being silly. And I had that feeling on and off throughout at least 30 minutes, maybe. And then my husband turned to me and he's like, there's a spirit back there. I'm like, oh, okay. So it's not me. And my husband's, he's an empath. So he can feel and sense their presence when they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, it's a young male. It's a young male presence that's back there. And he's trying to get our attention. And I'm like, oh, so that's what's going on. And then we kind of acknowledged him. And then my husband went to playing on his phone. And we were just sitting there in silence. And I felt tapping on my head. And I know how sometimes it's like when a girl's hair is shifting, it kind of feels... It kind of takes a pull at your hair, but it didn't feel like that. It actually felt like tapping on my head. And the entire backside of my body was cold. It was absolutely frigid. And so we pretty much just turned and said, yes, we know you're here. You can hang out for a little while, but then just be on your way.
Mm-hmm.
And with the location of our house, we get quite a few what we like to call passerbyers or just passing through. So that was one of them. And we just were saying, hey, we know you're here. We know you're here. So relax. You don't have to touch me anymore.
When you say with the location of your house, what do you think? You're in a specific location that's on a ghost highway of some sort? Or like, what do you mean by that?
We are in, we're next to kind of like a ravine with flowing water.
Okay.
And I've heard multiple times, and also I've experienced that there's a little bit more activity in areas where there's flowing water.
Sure.
I've had activity happen like all through my entire life, but I have noticed when when we've been in this house, it's been elevated compared to where we've other places we've lived. One of the stories I actually have is involves a Basset Hound that we had. He just passed away this last December, and he was laying on the bed with us one evening, and just randomly he stands up and he looks into the bathroom that's to the right of me, and he straddles me where he puts his front paws on the right side of me and his back paws on the left side of me, and he starts growling, and his hackles on the back of his neck are raised, and he's snarling and looking into this empty dark bathroom, and it just we had chills all over our bodies. It was so creepy. And this dog is so mellow. He loves everybody. And so when something makes him do that, we know it's not good things at all. So he was growling for several minutes, and then he just as quickly as he had stood up, he sat back down, put his head down, and went to sleep. But yeah, that was really creepy.
He knew something was going on.
Oh, he knew something was there.
Yeah.
Definitely knew something.
It's the canary in the coal mines. Our pets are our best, I don't say our best defense, but our best, they're more like the CO2 detectors for ghosts, I think, in many cases.
Yeah, they definitely know. When he passed, I kept hearing him for about a week. I heard his whining and his claws on the floor, so I kept hearing him. And then my husband woke up one morning about a week later after his passing, and he was just in tears. And we had lost a friend several years ago, and in his dream he said it was so real. He came home, he came up to the house, and he's walking up, and the friend that had passed walked so Copper was right by the gate, and he was wagging his tail just like he normally would, and he was happy to see him. And then our friend that had passed walked through the side of the house, or by the side of the house. She puts his harness on him and his leash, and she looks at Ed and she says, "Don't worry, I've got him." And he woke up. And we haven't heard him since.
Wow. Yeah, thank you for calling in and sharing that with us tonight. We really do appreciate that. Caller 910, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello, this is Cameron from Durham, North Carolina.
Hey, Cameron, you got a ghost story for us?
Kind of. I have plenty of those, but this one's a little bit different.
How's it different?
To set up the story, a couple of years ago, I lived in a neighboring town in an apartment complex, and the road that it's on is a very short road. You drive down, the apartment complex is on the right, keep going, some little restaurants, and keep going, and it's a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing on the left side of that road is, at that time, was just a hair salon and some construction.
Okay.
So, kind of like setting up the scenery.
Sure.
Of the story. So at that time, I was in grad school and actually working part-time at the grocery store down the road. And one day I get home from a long day of clinicals and get back and plan on doing some homework, but end up just taking a nap and crashing on the couch. So I wake up and it's a little bit later and decide, well, I need to eat something. But it was a nice day outside, so I decided to walk to the grocery store. And I'd done that before, but I normally just kind of follow the road. This time I decided I'm just going to cut straight through the apartment complex, because all I had to do was just walk down the stairs, make a right, and just walk straight, and it'll take me there. So I did that and only had to pass around one of the buildings of the apartment complex. But otherwise, I walk straight over there and get my food and talk to some of my coworkers, and I leave, which if I leave, all I have to do is just exit the building and walk straight, and that's what I did. So I have a bag of groceries in one hand, have a cigarette in the other hand, so I'm not on my phone or anything, and I walk straight. I get to the first building of my apartment complex, and I walk around it like I had to do to get there. And I keep walking, and all of a sudden I just realize I have no idea where I am. I see some townhomes which aren't a part of the apartment, and I just kind of keep walking a little bit, and I see a playground. I say, well, that's definitely not a part of this apartment complex. So I finally see like a little pathway. So I get on it and kind of follow that a ways, and I see a road. So I was like, well, hey, if I get to this road, I should be able to orient myself to where I am. And I get to it, and I realize it's the same road that my, you know, apartment complex is on, where this all takes place, except somehow I ended up on the other side of the street in a housing development, walking back towards the direction of the grocery store, kind of past the hair salon. And I know I never crossed over that road to begin with, just somehow walking straight, like all I had to do, I was ended up, I guess, being transported to another side of the street in some other area. And I've never heard any other story like this before, and it really freaked me out. Like I said, I've had plenty of ghost stories and whatnot, nothing's ever scared me, but this really shook me up. So I don't know if you've ever heard of this sort of occurrence before. I mean, I retraced my steps a million times, trying to figure out how on earth I could have ended up over there. But, you know, everything was on one side of the road, and just walking straight should have gotten me to where I needed to go. But somehow I ended up somewhere else.
The answer to your question of have we heard stories like this before is yes. You're not alone in these weird, I don't know what it is, time travel or a blip in, you know, time. I don't know. I mean, it's very, very bizarre. How these things...
But I checked that, too, and there was no weird time lapse or anything. It, like, sure. The time was pretty much normal. Yeah.
I my answer to it is I don't know. Obviously, it does fall into the world of paranormal and something happening. As far as exactly what it is, I don't know. There's been stories of people who have just, you know, gone down the road. Some of the ones that come to mind is people traveling, and I remember there's one story where it was taking place quite a few years ago. People driving down a kind of a farm road, they're having some issues with their vehicle. They stop at this farmhouse. The farmhouse is having a party. They welcome the people like, hey, you can come in if you'd like, but they felt like something was kind of off. They're like, no, I mean, we just kind of want to use a phone to try and get some help, and then we'll be on our way. So they get their help. They're on their way. Then they continue on their trip. They come back 2 days later. The house is like abandoned. It's not this pristine house that was having a party two nights ago. And there's no way it could have been either, but it's still there. But something in time had changed. I've heard stories where structures that were there are gone. Going one way, you come back the next time, it's just they're not there. And they do a little check on history, and the structures once stood there. I've heard it the opposite way, where we saw the structure there, came back, there's nothing there. A couple of years later, it's constructed. As far as what or how, you're not alone. You're not crazy. This stuff does happen. Yeah. When I was a kid, I can't say it's quite as close to what you are talking about experiencing, but there was a stretch of road or highway that I used to go off on when I first started driving when I was 16. And I enjoyed going out into the countryside in Wisconsin at night by myself in these hills and woods. And I don't know. I went to go become a werewolf. There was an inner howling in me. But I just like to go. I think it was just the joy of being free and being out and doing something. And so I would just go drive. And it was a real pretty area. I enjoyed it because of all the hills and trees. And when the moon shining out, especially in winter with all the snow, it's bright. I mean, it's kind of a neat setting if you've ever seen that. And this one side of the highway, everything seemed normal. On the other side, it felt off. So of course I explored the off side, and I would be driving out in the general direction of where I lived, to be like going towards Lake Michigan. And if you drove about 30 miles, you'd hit Lake Michigan, and I would do my darndest. And this is before GPSs and everything. This is late 90s. And I would be just keep going. I'm like, I'm going to keep going. I'm just going to keep driving. I'm going to try and get over to the lake, or at least to a town by the lake. And I would keep going straight, and I swear to God I was going straight, because the roads are very grid-like up there. And all of sudden, I would be, I swear to God, there's a lot of towns that speckle the map. I would pass an early town close to my parents' house. I knew where it was. I knew what it was. I'm like, okay, I'm going the right way. And then I swear to God, 20 minutes later, I'm thinking, okay, I must be getting close. And I'm back in that town. I'm like coming up on that town again. And it's like, seriously? It's like, how the hell did that happen? I mean, it's almost like the time didn't, right. It didn't make any sense as to how I would have gotten a full 360 around this town and then come back up behind it, because coming up back behind it would have required me to go through a different city that I never went through. And it was, it made little to no sense to me. But I would go out there and do it all the time just to, like, it was just a very weird feeling. And I don't know. So it's somewhat in line of what you're talking about. Yours sounds a lot more definitive than mine. I could have just been, you know, totally off. I didn't do drugs or anything. So I wasn't like high and, you know, anything of right. that nature. It was just, I don't know. It was, I guess I was getting the high of, yeah, exactly. The high of the weirdness of the situation. So it happens. It does. I don't know why, but it does. But, thank you for calling in and sharing that experience tonight.
Yes, definitely. Thank you.
All right. You take care. All right. Our phone lines are open at 216-446-7810, 216-GHOST-10, if you'd like to share your story with us. And yes, I do know that Facebook is having technical issues tonight. It is not on this end because all of our streams are working. YouTube is streaming just fine. It is something in the processing end of Facebook that is having some issues. So if you're watching us on Facebook or attempting to watch us on Facebook, switch over to our YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube, search Real Ghost Stories Online. You will find us. And you can use that as a backup to watch the program tonight, because we do stream on both YouTube and Facebook. I know a lot of folks have already gone over there to do just that. And I'm sorry, YouTubers, I can't put on screen the phone number. I can only do that on the Facebook feed. But it is 216-446-7810. If you're still wanting to get a ghost story in with us tonight, we got a little bit more time. So if you want to get that in, do go ahead and call in. Daniel's asking, when is your audiobook released and where can I get it? It's a great question. Well, for starters, I need to record it. So that would be kind of a requirement for the audiobook to be done. So my goal is still to get that thing done here relatively soon. I do not have a timetable on it. And once it is available, it'll be available through all the regular channels, Audible, things of that nature. We'll probably also just sell it directly through our website. I'm still kind of up in the air on how exactly I want to do that. It may be an extra as an EPP extra too. For now, every EPP gets an e-copy of the book, which is a $14 value of our Amazon best-selling book. So that's a neat little extra right there. But the audiobook is a whole other, you know, ball of wax. And, you know, it's funny, a podcast that has a book, but not the audiobook yet. That's just kind of the, what comes to the territory of kind of being, one person operation when it comes to the operating and daily upkeep of this program and our other programs and a whole other business as well. So I just do need to sit down and get that done. So as soon as it's available, trust me, you guys will definitely be the first to know about the audiobook. I do want to get that put together. It's not a procrastination thing. It's a, I need to make the time to do it, because it will take, probably roughly, I'm going to ballpark the thing around, the book finished will probably be around an 8 to 10 hour book. But the time to record will probably take damn near 20 to 30 hours when you get all the editing and everything in there. So it takes a little bit of time. So that is that. But I, of course, will keep you posted on that as we continue to get closer with that. Let's go over to another caller. Hi, you are on the air. Let's hear your ghost story.
Hey, how you guys doing? This story starts whenever Hurricane Katrina hit Louisiana from New Orleans. We had to leave to Arkansas, and they had an apartment that was refuge to us so we can go. And we stayed there for a while. Well, all kinds of crazy stuff happened. You know, you usually hear about theatrical stuff, but this is just real creepy stuff, you know. So we get there, and one night, this is what hit me the hardest out of living there. I had a friend that was spending the night, so we're just, you know, watching TV in my room, and all of a sudden, out of my closed closet, a hanger flies out. It flies out and hits my TV. Not only does it hit the TV, it turns off my TV. So my dad was in the hallway and he could see the open doorway, which the hangar had to fly past to hit my TV. And he saw it and was just dumbfounded by the whole thing. Well, it spooked me for a while. And like a year or two went by until we moved out of the apartment. Then my dad started telling me all the other things that happened in that place that he didn't want to tell me to scare me. So apparently my dad would get home after work and see that all the chairs would be flipped upside down, all the cabinets would be open, just spooky stuff like that. And it's almost mind-boggling because you think that it doesn't happen, but it really does. So stuff like that would happen. I remember every time I was in the house alone, creepy stuff would happen. So for instance, one time I was cleaning all of my toys that we got out of the house that was hit by Hurricane Katrina. And when I was cleaning everything, they had a closet door that just repeatedly slammed open and closed and open and closed and open and closed. It was just the weirdest thing. I never had any fear, more of a curiosity, if anything. So it was just a crazy experience and I'll never forget it. Plenty of witnesses. Yeah, that's about it. Hope you guys have a blessed one. Love is the key and love is the answer.
Thank you for calling in and sharing that story with us. You know, obviously, New Orleans already a very haunted city prior to Hurricane Katrina. Obviously, one of the big points, you know, that they talk about is the activity, the ghostly stuff that goes on there. But when you have something that horrific that occurred, you know, in that city with Hurricane Katrina, it's hard to believe we're 10 years now, I believe. Are we at 10? I believe this last year was 10. If you're younger and you don't know the impact of what that was, do a little YouTubing or reading on it. It's funny because some of these things seem like, oh, I know all about this because I was alive during it. But, you know, if you were, you know, 9 or 10 and now you're 21, 22, you know, there's a lot of things I don't remember in the news from 9 or 10. It was, you know, it was one hell of a messed up situation where a lot of it really was preventable. And yeah, just horrible things and a lot of deaths. I mean, just unfathomable amount of people who died because of it. My point being that sheer amount of people who died in that city in that that short of a period of time. There's really no true way to measure this part. I mean, you can, of course, measure death tolls, but I'm wondering, has the city seen a spike in paranormal activity since Katrina? I'm just curious. I mean, and it's a difficult one to say because, you know, the technology and the equipment and just the people open and the sheer amount of people that are ghost hunting has increased dramatically since Katrina. So, of course, you're going to have more people with probably more reports, but that's because of the more people that are out there doing it than were doing it prior. But that is something I do wonder about is with that sheer amount of death and unexpected death, has it increased, you know, in the city? I would think, you know, you would see that. And I'm sure that's a good question for local folks, who could probably answer that, at least some insight into it. Not a scientific answer, but just a, yeah, you know, we had some, you know, some stuff prior, but oh my God, you know, after this, you know, it's a lot more. I'd be very interested to hear if anybody has any insight into that. That would be, it's an interesting question that I'd like to pose out there. Something I want to let you guys know about that I'm really excited about. I don't know, it's going to depend on the location we're talking about. In 2019, going on tour. We're going to go and do some live dates out there in different parts of the country. Yes. Meaning we're going to do the show live and on location, as we used to say in radio. And I'm going to pull it up. You can go to our website and go to, there it says live dates. Is that what it says? Is live dates how I have it labeled? I'm pulling it up right now. Tour dates is what it's under, right there on the main page. We have one date set so far, and it's with our friends over at Hillbilly Horror Stories. They invited me to do this, and he's been telling me, Jerry's been saying to me for probably at least a year, you got to go out and do live shows because they've been doing it and they're loving it. And it has been difficult. You know, I have two little ones. You know, we're not exactly close to many major areas. And it's like, I'd love to, but this next year, it's kind of one of those things where I want to do it. We're going to do it. I'm going to make a commitment to doing it. And he's pulling me out of my hermit kingdom here at my house. We're going to go out and do a live date August 24th in Lexington, Kentucky. Tickets are on sale right now. There's only 80 of them. They're only $15 a piece. It'll be me. It'll be his show, him and his wife, with Hillbilly Horror Stories in Lexington, Kentucky. It'll be a one-night show there. And we'll do the show live. So I'm excited about it. And they're going to do Hillbilly Horror Stories Live. I'll be a part of that episode. I will do probably a version of Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks or the Grave Talks. I'm not quite sure yet the format of the evening, but I believe it's like a 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. event. Only 80 tickets. It's an intimate night where we can all hang out. Talk, you know, it'll be a fun time. I know some folks, he's been updating me of like, somebody's coming in from Seattle and he's telling me like where people are booking from, and I'm just blown away, by you guys. So I'm excited about it, and I'm going to have more dates too. So I want to say that, but that is our first one that has been listed. It is up. It's August 24th, 2019 in Lexington. The details, go to tour dates at realghoststoriesonline.com and you can buy tickets. But like I said, only 80 of them. Probably make a really good Christmas present to a fan of the program. You can see us there, the two of our shows together. But other dates, other cities, I have not really put anything down on the calendar yet, but it is running through my mind of places. A lot of it's going to be here in the Midwest, because it's going to be places I can relatively get to in the course of, you know, 3 to 5 hours drive time on a weekend. There may be a couple others that are in there, maybe a little bit further away. We'll just kind of have to see how it all pans out, but I think we'll probably have a date here in Branson, or what I'd like to do is maybe down in Eureka Springs, down by the Crescent. I got to talk to those folks. Maybe do a weekend down there, which would be fun. And yes, Stacy, Kansas City is going to be one of them. I'm probably pretty darn sure about that. Probably one over towards Wichita or in Wichita. Carol is over there. Probably do a show together with her, possibly down towards the Dallas area. Those will probably be some of the first ones that are planned, just so you're aware. So keep listening. Keep checking back that tour date area. As we get that stuff settled and put together, we will get that stuff all posted for you. So I'm excited about it. What I'm thinking we'll do, and I'm always open to feedback on this, so I'm just kind of yabbering here, but you know, this is our time to talk, get your feedback on what you'd like to see in a live show. I'm thinking of doing an episode of Real Ghost Stories Online live, and then also doing an episode of The Grave Talks live, back to back, so like 2 hours of the show, I think would be really kind of a fun thing to do. Almost two different formats, take a little break in between, but kind of make it a Q&A with this show where you can come up and share your ghost stories, and then we talk to someone locally about their local ghost stories. Let's go over to a caller at 306. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Are you there?
Hello, calling from Saskatchewan. Yes, hello.
Yes, I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Awesome. Tammy, and we're calling from Saskatchewan.
All right. Well, thank you, Tammy, our Canadian friends. Let's hear your ghost story.
Well, it's actually, I was kind of flabbergasted because the caller before, he said he's never heard of these kind of situations happen before. I've experienced one, actually.
All right. Let's hear yours.
I was working in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan, and I was coming back from Stoughton, heading south. So this was a regular same thing, regular ways I would take to go back to my hotel. I work on the road. I turned on the road, back road, familiar, to get into town, into Esterhazy, only to have to come back. I was making a series of right turns,
but somehow came out at the junction back at Stoughton. Between Stoughton and Esterhazy is approximately about 45 minutes. So when I came back to Stoughton, which I would have to turn left to go back north when I'm heading south, I have no explanation for that. I left work.
Yeah.
I left work at, Stoughton at, let's say, 6:30. When I got back to point A, from point A back to point A, it was almost 11 o'clock.
How did you explain this to your friends and family?
I never told a soul until now.
Because you thought they'd think you were crazy, right?
Most definitely.
Yeah.
100%.
You're not. I don't know. Again, I mean, it's just one of those things. Like, how the hell does that happen? But it does. And a lot of us have had experiences like that. And, you know, I a lot of times I would chalk mine up to being like, oh, I was just confused or whatnot. But when you really look at what you were doing, it's like, no, I'm not crazy. I'm not confused. Like, this is what I was doing. How did this happen? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's an uneasy feeling. You second guess your reality.
Yeah.
And then not only reality, but your mental state.
Sure.
Like, okay, first of all, I wasn't drinking. I don't do drugs. That you know, like you do a process of elimination until there's nothing more than just what the heck.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Because when something like that does happen, you do start to question your mental state. You're like, is there something wrong with me? Now, I mean, not even ghostly, but like, did I black out? Or, you know, what logical, you know, mental things could we run through here of what, is there a condition going on that I'm unaware of that I need to get help for?
Yeah.
It's scary. But because our minds can do amazing things and make us see really crazy things that we believe are right there when they are in fact not. I had a situation where this was at the radio station. The last radio station I worked at, this happened about probably 6-7 years ago. I was in the studio and I had been really, I was on kind of a health kick. So I was doing a lot of walking and a lot of exercising and drinking a lot of water. And I remember downing one of those giant bottles of like Vita water or something. It was a big bottle of water. And I chugged the darn thing and thought, okay, what, it's water, you know, big deal. And I walk back into the studio. This is not a paranormal story. This is how your mind can totally screw with you. I walk back into the studio and I look at the computer monitor that's up there. And it's showing me that all of the letters on screen are all mixed up. So I'm thinking there's a glitch on the screen. I'm thinking the computer is screwing up. Because I'm looking at song titles, and it's saying Mitt Gromick, for like Tim McGraw or something, and like everything was out of order. But it looked like the screen was screwing up. It didn't appear to me like they weren't like in weird places. It was just like the letters were out of order. And I thought, oh great, I got to go tell our engineer, who luckily was right across the hall, and he's our computer guy. And as I'm walking out of the studio, just thinking the computer's glitching, then I look down at a copy of the newspaper that's sitting right there, and the headlines are all mixed up too. The letters are all in different places as far as what I'm seeing.
Wow.
And then I'm like, what the hell? It was very much like Groundhog's Day and the Bill Murray line of where he looks out the window and he goes, what the hell? And just like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And I walked into the engineer's office and I sat down and I said, I don't want to scare you. I don't know what's going on. But everything I'm looking at on screen and everything I'm reading, the letters are not in the right places. And he's like, what? I said, I don't do drugs. I'm not on anything. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if I'm having a stroke. I don't know what is happening here. But I need you to help me and keep an eye on me here because something is not right with me. And I felt fine otherwise. I was very, very weird. Then he walked me back into the studio. I took my, ran it across the screen and I ran it across like a news, the newspaper. I could read it if I was focusing on my finger and the letters. But if I removed it, my brain was picking up the letters in different ways, but it still looked completely correct. Nothing was blurry. Nothing was fuzzy. It looked like it should, but with the letters in wrong places. But that's a brain. That's what your brain is capable of doing. And it's capable of doing a lot of other things too, which is why we always doing exactly what you talked about. You try and do the process of elimination of, is there anything logical to this? Because it's not always paranormal. Sometimes it is our minds doing stuff to us. But that was a very scary time. But I learned later that if you drink a shitload of water like I did, it can actually be very dangerous. And I was apparently on the cusp of being in that danger zone. And it can mess with your brain.
Water toxic. Yes. You can get water toxic. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I've heard of it.
It's like borderline drowning from just drinking water.
Yeah.
But it scared me, and I said, I'm not going to exercise or drink water ever again. So I've been drinking nothing but rye whiskey and not exercising since 2012. So I'm a shining image of health. But it's one of those scary things. However, with this and with the driving like I had and your story, I don't think it was anything mental. I think this stuff, there's something unexplained going on.
Well, you know, of course, I mean, as well as paranormal groups, I also follow UFO, and you know, I believe that we're not the only people here.
Sure.
There had been sightings in that area. I think it was like 2 months prior, unexplained object, I guess, mm-hmm. per se, right? Now, that just opens like Pandora's box.
It does. I mean, right? You can be like, and then I found a probe in me, you know, it's like, oh, okay. But you know,
right. Where do you draw the line? Yeah. It's just, yeah. I have to put it to an experience that I cannot explain.
Yeah.
That, you know, I remember it seemed like minutes. Minutes, no loss of consciousness, no, you know, just a series of right turns. And I know I was turning right.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, it's just, I could, yeah. One of those things where you just kind of, you know, we live in a parallel world, I believe, now.
Yeah.
Is what I've come to understand and possibly experience.
Now, I agree. I think there's something going on there. And I mean, I don't always jump. I rarely ever jump to the alien stuff. It's not that I don't believe in that stuff. I don't really know much about it. I have very little knowledge. I'm not against it. I'm not really drawn to it as an interest, which is why I've never done a show about it. Ghosts are always kind of my thing. But I do think there are areas where the two do intersect. I think there are times where people have had experiences that seem like they could be more along the lines of something of that world than it is a ghost thing, and probably vice versa. But that's for, you know, I guess one's own personal judgment.
Would that be like a real life deja vu? You know,
like, not necessarily. No, I mean, I'm thinking more so like encountering something or something out there and seeing something and thinking it's a ghost, and it much more seems to go along the lines more of a encounter with something UFO-ish than it does ghostly. But there's a lot of intersecting lines there.
I don't think it'd be like UFO-ish, but to me, it's just kind of like, you know, when you try to explain something that you have no explanation for, then you're just kind of grasping at concepts, but yet it leads you nowhere.
Sure.
Which is pretty much, that's kind of where I'm at. Like,
no.
Even talking about it, I'm shaking. Like, I
completely agree. I have the same feeling. It's one of those when I get these calls, my answer, because people are, they want answers. My answer is always, number one, I have no freaking idea. Number two, it happens. But it's so bizarre, and I don't think anybody really has the explanations. You have stories of this with people in flight as well. You know, basically any form of transportation, any place someone could possibly be, there is a story like this. And it's been going on for God knows how long. But it does indeed happen. And people who have it happen are not crazy. It just happens.
I'm just glad that I'm not the only one. And as the gentleman before me was talking about it, my eyes just went big and my jaw opened like, what?
Well, there you go. I am glad you were able to call in and relate and connect, because that's what this thing is all about. That's the coolest thing about our program, is the relatability that people have when they hear a story. They can call in a story and go, no, you're not alone. I had something like this happen too. And sometimes the two people felt alone until somebody finally reached out and said, I've never told my family about this. I never told a friend about this, but I discovered this group, this community, this podcast that talks about this stuff. And oh my God, literally our show is downloaded anywhere from 40,000 to 100,000 times a day worldwide. So there's a lot of people who have this stuff happen, and they're not all crazy. In fact, very few, I think, are. Again, we go back, are there things that can be explained mentally? Yes. But is there something else going on? Yes. So it's just a matter of always being logical and trying to narrow it down.
We live in a very complex universe if we're just only seeing what we want to see. But once we open our minds, our hearts, and our, to look outside the box, there's so much more, you know, than just what the eye meets.
When
we go deeper into,
There definitely is.
I'm just so flabbergasted that there's other people out there that happened to.
Well,
I just feel so relieved that I'm not the only one, that there are people out there like that have experienced it, because I have, like, this literally changed my life,
sure. Basically,
because you don't know what happened. Like, you leave work, you're thinking you're going home, and you have like almost 2 hours, 2.5 hours of time lapse.
Yeah.
And you end up back at point A. Like, it's beyond concept of any rational, you try to rationalize, like, I know, you go through your steps, retracing your steps, and you know for a fact that it's impossible, but it's possible.
You're exactly right. There is no logical explanation for what is going on with it. But obviously, it happens. It happened to you, and it's something that goes on out there. There's no way to truly have a foolproof explanation for it. So, thank you for calling in tonight and sharing that story with us. We do greatly appreciate it. Very, very much so. And with that being said, I think we're going to wrap up our program for tonight. For being a night where Facebook was completely on the fritz, I have to say, thank you guys. You really came through on calls, and a lot of you did migrate over to YouTube. Thank you for that. It's been nothing but a cluster on Facebook all night. Our Facebook, the feed over here on my other monitor, which I control all the things on, just crashed on me like right at the end. So anyway, YouTube's been very, very good. Maybe we'll just move the whole show to YouTube eventually. I don't know. We'll see about that. I've not been the biggest fan of Facebook lately. So, all right, everybody. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for being a part of the program. If you like our show, be an EPP extra podcast person. You get a free e-copy of our book now when you're an EPP. You get all the EPP bonus episodes. You get advanced episodes of the program weeks before they are released. You get a fast pass email to get your stories to me literally about a year before I get to see them on the actual regular submission on our website, because that's how far back we are. Exclusive video content, so much more. Ghostpodcast.com. If you like the show, $5 a month. Please support us. Keep us on the air. Without that support, we did not do this program. And if it's lapsed, please consider renewing. Make it a Christmas present to yourself or to someone you care about. And that's what keeps us on the air well into next year. So until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. You guys have a great night. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.